The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/galacticnetcasts. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
The Time Traveling Robots in Space podcast starts now.
It is Friday, June 15th, 2012, and welcome to another Galactic Netcast. This is the Time Traveling Robots in Space, number 35, from Wausau, Wisconsin. I'm Dave Nelson, alongside Glendale, California's very own Paul Swigert, and joining us all the way from Denton, Texas, it's Anessa Moyens. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Yeah, absolutely.
We've had some really weird weather here in Wisconsin the last 48 hours. It keeps on going from really cold to really warm, and then it rains, and then it goes back around again. So right now, it's really, really hot. And yesterday, I had all my windows closed. Windows closed, like bundled up in a sweatshirt. So it's we're experiencing some pretty weird stuff here. How's the weather where you guys are?
Cloudy.
Nice.
84 degrees.
Yeah. Paul is
cooled down considerably.
Paul is like, it's always sunny in Southern California. What are you asking me that for? Weather never changes.
It's not
here.
Always sunny in Southern California.
Okay.
And in fact, June is typically a very rainy time for us.
Okay.
They call it the June gloom.
Oh, so that's the one time of the year where the weather changes? Is that how it goes?
Sure. We'll just go with that.
Okay. All right. This is the show where we discuss all things time travel, robots, and space when it comes to science fiction and science fact. We cover both ends. We give you two stories from each topic, then we talk about our picks and ask the question of the week. In the future, if you would like to see us do this show live, we stream it on Spreecast.com, usually Thursdays at 9 p.m., but that has changed. The last couple of weeks, we've done it on Friday afternoon. So what the best thing for you to do is just follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Google+, and you'll stay on top of everything Galactic Netcasts. Also, on the website, go there now if you want to get your message here during this show or the other Galactic Netcast shows. We are taking sponsorships, only $10. That will get you a 30-second live read. You know what? We'll put it on all of our shows. You'll get your message not on just this show, but also the other Galactic Netcasts. $10.
Other networks, that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't. See, we go above and beyond the call. We're all about customer service, baby. So just go to...
Except when it comes to our opinions about things.
Okay, nobody gets that because they weren't part of the pre-show. So keep it... Let's stay on track here. Let's stay focused with our topics at hand, which are time travel, robots, and space. All right. Let us get started here. Hang on. Here it is.
Sector 1, time travel.
All righty. The first image has been released for the big screen CG adaptation of Mr. Peabody and Sherman, Rocky and Bullwinkle's time traveling dog and his boy coming to the big screen. I'm so excited about this. Did you guys ever watch the original?
I've seen a few.
I used to watch Rocky and Bullwinkle back in the day, but I was really small.
So your memory of it's probably not as good as, say, mine.
Right.
Okay. All right, so here's the official synopsis for the film. Based on Jay Ward's classic cartoon, Mr. Peabody is the world's smartest person who happens to be a dog. When his pet boy, Sherman, uses their time-traveling machine without permission, events in history spiral out of control. It's up to this most unexpected father-son teams, and they put father-son in quotations, to somehow put things back on track before the space-time continuum is irreparably destroyed. Wow, it sounds pretty serious. Can kids handle this kind of story?
Oh, here's something you don't really like.
What do you guys think? Can kids handle a story like this?
Sure.
I'm sure they can. Kids,
yeah.
They can handle a kids, lot these kids, days.
Yeah, kids will deal. I mean, geez, we inundate them with, you know, violence and sex all day long. I'm pretty sure they can handle a good old-fashioned space-time, you know, space-time continuum flux or paradox.
Yeah, I don't know. Paradox is a little bit different from violence and sex. It's a world...
It'll make them think.
What?
That's true.
Maybe you're doing it wrong. You ever think about that?
I am not doing it wrong. And I don't know where you heard that from. They're lying. Okay. Here's the voice. Go ahead, Paul.
No, I just go ahead. I was just commenting to myself that I'm in a weird mood.
I think we all are. Robert Downey Jr. Yep. was originally supposed to voice Mr. Peabody, but the role is instead going to Ty Burrell, who plays Phil on Modern Family. You guys familiar with Phil? You guys familiar with Ty Burrell?
Yeah. Yeah, he's good. I think that's actually a pretty good voice for Mr. Peabody.
I'm going to have to look up to find his image because for the life of me, I can't remember what he looks like. Max Charles.
He's been on a lot of random things.
Okay. You know what? I know this is really bad radio, quote unquote, but I'm going to look him up just to see what it looks like so I can relate. Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah, he's good. All right, Matt.
Who's his dad? The main father.
See, I don't watch the show. I don't watch the show, so kind of out of the loop.
Oh, you're missing out, dude.
Yeah.
You're missing out. That is a funny show.
Yeah, I've seen it before. I just don't watch it on a regular basis. Max Charles, who plays young Peter Parker in The Amazing Spider-Man and played a young Pierce Hawthorne in an episode of Community, will voice Sherman. So they got some pretty good people here for voices.
Huh. Okay. Very cool, man.
So there you go. I don't know what the release date for this is. All I know is the first image has been released. So it's got to be somewhat soon. Probably 2013, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. I guess if it's CG, then they can...
Let's move on. Paul, what is your time travel story?
Well, in our effort to completely kitty up the time travel area, Time Travel Mater is a short that is going to Disneyland. And for those of you who don't know, Mater is a reference to the Cars character, that little guy who was the tow truck.
Voiced
and
by
David shaking his head in disapproval.
Voiced by voiced, Larry the
yes.
Cable Guy.
Got it.
Awesome.
So I can see Dave is already going to like this. Anyway, in Time Travel Mater, Mater travels back in time to witness the founding of Radiator Springs from, you know, the little Cars thing. Have you seen Cars, Dave?
No, I haven't. I stay away from most animation.
You're
not
kidding.
Very cartoon
no,
friendly.
I'm not. Okay.
I've seen Cars. I really like Cars.
You know, regardless, it's Pixar.
I've seen maybe one or two Pixar movies, and that's about it.
Oh,
you should
Dave.
See more.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Animation doesn't appeal to me. I'm sorry.
Tell me you've seen WALL-E. That's right up. This is the show right here, WALL-E.
I've not seen WALL-E.
Oh, my. WALL-E's not even the best one of them.
I saw,
in all honesty,
okay, go ahead.
Cars is definitely the weakest of, I think people pretty much universally agree that Cars is the weakest of the Pixar films, but it's okay, you know, it's fine.
So
I liked it, but that's because it was mainly for what it made reference to. It was a lot of places that I've actually seen in person.
Oh, yeah.
Probably why I really liked it, because it was mainly talking about Route 66 and a lot of the sites that you see along Route 66.
Anessa, don't lie to us. It's because you're from the South. That's why you can relate, right?
It takes place in, like, Arizona.
Oh, well.
or Nevada or wherever they decide Radiator Springs was.
But the desert, yes.
Okay.
It's in the desert.
All right.
And I really like that area, so I suppose if it's because I'm from the South, then sure, why not?
Don't lie, Anessa. You're really a Larry the Cable Guy fan. That's why you like it.
No, that's not why I watched it.
Get her done.
I wasn't like, get her done.
That would be wacky if you were hiding this whole other side to you from us. Like this redneck side that's like in... I shouldn't be. It's all stereotyping. I'm sorry. I won't continue that train of thought. Anyways, Paul.
Big NASCAR logo right above her head. That none of us can see.
Yeah, the Dale Jr. posters.
I can't sit there and watch people drive in circles for hours in a day. That's dumb.
That email, once again, is galacticnetcast@gmail.com.
Hey, you know what? Bring it on.
I offended a lot of people.
We need feedback. I'll take it, either negative or positive. Doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Okay. So, Paul, anything more you want to talk about this?
Well, it's just a typical short. The people who see it originally are guests at Disneyland. It's going to play at the Blue Sky Cellar in Disney California Adventure. So that's the whole crux of this whole thing, is that they're just making a short with Larry the Cable Guy in which Mater goes back in time to see the birth of his hometown.
Okay.
So, yeah, it's going to be, again, obviously voiced by Larry the Cable Guy. And it's going to premiere on, let's see, 8 p.m. on June 16th.
So it's going to be, I'm confused, it's going to be at Disneyland.
Okay. At Disneyland, and it will probably be there for a while, but the people who are at Disneyland California Adventure will be able to see it today, essentially.
Okay.
Everybody else will see it tomorrow.
All right. Cool. I wonder if that's going to be released anytime, like after the run finishes at Disneyland. I wonder if they're going to release it in other forms.
If it's a short, I'd imagine... Is Cars 2 out on... DVD, Blu-ray, all that yet? If not, I would imagine that they may attach it to it.
Or they'll probably end up doing another release of a bunch of shorts like they did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pixar specifically has done stuff like that before.
Alrighty then. So that, my friends, is time travel.
Time travel.
Before we continue on to robots, and Paul mentioned this already, the email address... galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. If you have any kind of feedback about anything we've mentioned so far, including bitching about us, bitching about NASCAR, and that type of person, go ahead, let us know that you hate us so bad. galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can call our voicemail and yell at us, 805-328-3966. We also have a forums section at the website, galacticnetcasts.com. Before we move on to robots, do you guys want to say anything more offensive so we're insured some feedback?
NASCAR sucks.
Good. That's a good start. Immigration laws are too strict.
Wow.
No one, anyone can just come here. There you go.
Okay. Let's just move on, shall we? All right. Hang on one second. I'm going to play that one more time. All right. So more casting news is starting to trickle out about the upcoming RoboCop reboot. And the latest is that Hugh Laurie, best known as Dr. Gregory House on the popular Fox series House, has reportedly signed on as the evil and ultra-rich CEO of Omnicorp, the company that makes RoboCop, according to The Hollywood Reporter. Man, this movie is looking better and better all the time, I swear.
Cast alone is really, you know, I would probably watch it anyway because it's a remake of RoboCop. But yeah, they're really kind of out of the park with the cast.
Yeah, because we have Hugh Laurie, the latest addition. Mm-hmm. Joel Kinnaman from The Killing will be playing Alex Murphy, or RoboCop. Let's see. Also, Samuel L. Jackson, and Gary Oldman. So there you go. Yeah.
It's cool, man.
Yeah,
I'm good.
It's awesome that Hugh Laurie is now able to do other stuff, because you know that House had to be very time consuming, so there wasn't a whole lot. His schedule wasn't that open to do movies and other things, so I can see him being in a lot more movies now that House is done. Are you guys fans of Hugh Laurie?
Yes.
Oh, I love Hugh Laurie. I really enjoyed him back when he did a bit of Ryan Laurie. So, still kind of trippy to hear him in his native accent.
Yeah. Well, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean...
Paul, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I actually saw Hugh Laurie first on Blackadder. And most of that is still... I think it's all still streaming on Netflix, if anybody out there wants to check it out. But he's a comedian, you know. That's where he got it. That's from what I understand. That's where he got his roots. So yeah, he's hilarious. Like, he's really, Hugh Laurie is amazing.
Yeah, and he has his own album out, which is actually pretty good.
So he's multi-talented.
Multi-talented.
It's gonna be.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
He did some kind of jazz. Thing in my neck of the woods not too long ago. Like, it was in Anaheim, and I couldn't go for some reason, but I was really tempted. He was on House had, I think, 9 seasons? 8 or 9?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
he was in, I think, 1 movie. Like, y'all remember that Keanu Reeves movie? It was super serious. And he played... He played like a cop, like a deputy cop.
I don't remember it.
But that's the only movie that I know of that where Hugh Laurie actually played, and it wasn't even that big of a role. But that's the only movie that I know of that where he played something while he was still doing House.
Well, you may be wrong, Paul. Because I'm looking at his, I'm sorry, I'm looking at his filmography on Wikipedia, and maybe some of this stuff is just like one-off, like guest roles on TV shows. I wish it would, because it doesn't really separate movies from TV on the graph that I'm looking at.
Street Kings was the movie that I was thinking of.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You know what? Because I'm seeing stuff like Family Guy, The Simpsons. So a lot of voice stuff and some British stuff, too. So, yeah, you're right. Not a whole lot of movies. I wonder if he's going to going to have the British accent or the American accent in RoboCop.
He does both, obviously, really well. So
he does an awful British accent.
His British accent is horrible. I could see him doing either. I could definitely see an evil CEO having an English accent.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think at least for Americans and people that don't have any kind of British or UK accent, that hearing an accent like that makes things a little bit more evil. You guys agree?
Well, see, yes, it does. It does. But if they're trying to do a criticism of American, you know, corporations, then they might tell them to do the American thing.
Or even better,
because I get the impression that the original RoboCop was trying to do that.
Maybe
trying to say, you know, if we allow it, corporations can do all kinds of horrible things.
Maybe he'll do a Southern accent. Maybe he'll do a Larry the Cable Guy accent. That'd make it interesting.
That's like,
Hugh Laurie,
okay.
Going, get her done.
Yes.
Is it just
well, I'll be.
Paul.
I reckon we'll come over here and take over this corporation.
I feel like Jeez. I'm gonna get you, RoboCop. You're taking our jobs. I was just thinking that that's the typical crap that I hear whenever an English, someone with an English accent tries to do an American accent. It's always the stereotypical, like, Southern thing. And it just bothers the holy hell out of me.
Well,
it's like, that's the only thing that they can do.
Well, you know what? I think the Southern accent is easier to do than, like, a Midwestern accent or a non, like, specific accented American accent. Like, I can do a Southern accent. We heard Anessa do a Southern accent. I'm sure, Paul, you could do one, too. It's not that hard.
That's true. I suppose that's fine.
All right, interesting. So RoboCop, scheduled for theaters, August of 2013. 2013 is going to be a very good movie year. That, along with the Star Trek movie, and I'm sure there's some other ones, too. So there you go.
The second Hobbit movie.
Yeah. So, Paul, what's your robot story?
So, this website is pretty freaking awesome. MyRobotNation.com. In this site, you can build your own toy robot. And I was messing around with this. It's pretty freaking sweet. Like, all you have to do is just go there, and you can actually choose how big you want it, and they will make it for you in plastic, and they'll send it to you. So this thing is, I was messing around with it. You can choose all kinds of different stuff. You can choose, obviously, the body type, the head, the legs, everything. And it just ended up in this really awesome, I created this really awesome, like, thing. And it's, if I had the kidlets, then I may actually consider doing something like this for them. All you'd have to do, it's really simple. All you'd have to do is go to, again, myrobotnation.com, and you can see all the stuff that not only, you can obviously make your own, but you can see what's popular out there. Like, how many people have liked other robots that others have created. And, some of them are really good, like a lot better than mine turned out to be. And I like mine. One thing that I was a little disappointed in was that you can't actually buy the robots that others have created.
Oh,
I kind of wanted to do that, and maybe they just were worried that people might claim some kind of royalties if, like, some robots were especially popular.
Oh, I see.
But, yeah,
that makes sense. So they're very specific to each person. You can highly customize them. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. Oh, to a crazy degree. A lot more than I thought. Like, you can, like, not only can you have typical body types, whatever, you can attach all kinds of little things onto the robot just in wherever you like. Like, you like little sprockets or circuits or whatever. And obviously, there's a complete color palette that you can use. If you just peruse some of the stuff that everybody, all of these people are doing, it's pretty clear that it's a really dynamic system that they're working with.
Well, I see here on the website that they're using 3D printing, which makes it a lot easier for them to make very unique robots.
I would hope so.
That's,
but yeah, I mean, just to, like, here, like, this is one that I'll post inside the chat room. It's, and you can notice on this thing that one of his arms is like a little blaster cannon thing.
Oh, neat.
And he has a shield on the front of him. And he has a normal other arm. And he has another little blaster thing on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, all of that is just built out of the base body type.
So I'm guessing that you could take a look at somebody's picture and then base your robot on their design. I know that you can't get already made designs from these examples, but you could look at it and go, and then go back and forth between looking at the picture and then designing a robot.
Yeah, it wouldn't be difficult at all. At least I wouldn't think. There's a lot of, once you get into the finer points of it, it probably won't be exactly the same. But it would be close enough probably to your satisfaction.
This is a neat site.
So, yeah, I stumbled upon this through the Wired article that I noticed this from, and it's pretty cool. I can dig it.
Cool. You know, this would be great if you had kids, which you already mentioned, but also if you're just a plain robot fan, if you collect robots, this would be perfect for you.
Totally.
And they're the... Go ahead, Paul.
Well, I was just comment that some of them, you can get it anywhere from 2 to 6 inches. And the 6-inch one is expensive. Like the 6-inch one is like $170. But, you know, if you just want a small one, the 2-inch version is $18. The 3-inch version is $25. But yeah.
Very reasonable. Cool. Awesome. And we'll put the links in the show notes of the podcast. So all you crazy robot lovers out there can make your own robot at myrobotnation.com. All right. Sure. The Time Traveling Robots in Space is brought to you by audible.com. For you, the Galactic Netcast listener or viewer here at Spreecast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the chance to check out their service. To go along with the theme of this podcast, may we suggest The Robots of Dawn by Isaac Asimov. This is a classic book, and you can get it read to you via audible.com. A millennium into the future, two advancements have altered the course of human history: the colonization of the galaxy and the creation of the positronic brain. Detective Elijah Bailey is called to the spacer world Aurora to solve a bizarre case of roboticide. Is that how you say it?
Sure.
It's like homicide.
It's like,
yeah, roboticide. Yeah. Okay. The prime suspect is a gifted roboticist who had the means, the motive, and the opportunity to commit the crime. There's only one catch. Bailey and his positronic partner must prove the man innocent. So there you go. Again, that is Isaac Asimov, The Robots of Dawn. You can pick that up free or try anything else with your free trial. Go to audible.com. Or actually, audibletrial.com/galacticnetcast and start your free 30-day trial. And we thank Audible for their support of Time Traveling Robots in Space. Space, you say? Why the hell not? Here we go.
Sector 3. Space.
It sounds like J.J. Abrams' production company, Bad Robot. See what I did there? It's space, but we're still talking about robots. I'm so smart. Might be producing another sci-fi movie for Paramount. This time, the Star Trek director producer is looking at the script for a story called God Particle. This sounds very interesting. While Abrams has declined to comment, the project's synopsis posted by Vulture sounds right up his alley. After a physics experiment with a large Hadron accelerator causes the Earth to seemingly vanish completely, the terrified crew of an orbiting American space station is left floating in the middle of empty space. When a European spacecraft appears on their radar, the Americans must determine whether it's their salvation or a harbinger of doom. Now, it's unlikely that... I like harbinger. I would love to use harbinger in every single sentence for the rest of my life. That's how much I like the word harbinger. Now, it's unlikely that Abrams will be directing the project himself, since Paramount is looking to shoot the entire thing for under $5 million. The no-budget model has been a common trend in the studios lately. Movies such as Paranormal Activity, The Woman in Black, Chronicle, and Insidious were all shot on micro-budgets and ended up turning substantial relative profits. So, something to look forward to from Bad Robot, but not necessarily directed or produced by J.J. Abrams himself. But it's a cool concept. You guys like the sound of this movie?
Yeah, it's an interesting... Yep. I like the idea of it being from the perspective of the people on the space station rather than the perspective of people on Earth. Because that's, you know, that I think the typical route to go is like, oh, everybody on Earth is in a completely different place and people are freaking out. I could see that being a movie, but I like the idea of just people who are sort of already, in a relatively foreign place, having to witness their home just vanish.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be kind of cool. So is the God particle thing a reference to the typical, like, when I think of a God particle, isn't that what physicists are looking at when they're trying to think of like what, you know, atoms are made out of?
When they're trying to find quarks, right? Or what's the thing that
quarks.
They're...
Yeah, that's right.
What's the thing that...
Like, it's the thing that makes up
the God particle. The God particle is the Higgs boson.
Yeah, that's it.
Thing, and that's basically what's made up of... I, from my understanding, it's what makes up the atoms, I guess. The building blocks to the building blocks.
Okay. And that's what...
Right. Not entirely sure.
And that's what they built the Large Hadron Collider for mainly, is to find the Higgs boson.
Yeah, right. And that's also the thing that everyone was terrified would cause a black hole and swallow us all up.
And then swallow us all, yeah. So, no, mm-hmm. That's not going to happen. I mean, I think our physics department actually has a little collider thing in the basement. So, and we're still here. So.
I've mentioned him before, but my physicist friend described it to me as this, what this big particle collider is doing. Imagine a room that's lined entirely of tinfoil, and you are shooting two baseballs together to have them break apart, and you're listening to the sound that they make as they splatter against the tinfoil and trying to figure out what it is that the baseballs were made out of.
Wow.
That's essentially what they're doing. Yeah.
That's crazy.
I like that. I like that description or explanation.
You know, why haven't we got this guy on our show yet, Paul? You know, a physicist.
I would absolutely love to, and I'm sure he would too. I'll actually ask him. The biggest problem right now is he's in Japan.
Oh, okay.
By far the biggest issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, absolutely, he would have been here. No problem.
And all of the physicists I know are really socially awkward.
See?
Yes. Well, okay. Allow me to describe him. He is the typical thing of what you might think of when you picture a mad scientist in your head. Like, he's, you know, weird hair, tall, very tall, lanky, and just kind of, you know, mad scientist.
Well, he's never going to be on the show now.
Oh, he absolutely would be. No description that I could provide would turn him off of talking about this stuff. Having said all that, he's an excellent teacher. So I'm sure that he would be more than entertaining enough for everybody here.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. Someday having a physicist on the show. All right. So I'm guessing that the reason why the Earth disappeared is something to do with the collider, and maybe a wormhole did cause a wormhole to happen or something like that. Well, I guess we'll have to wait to see, and we'll find out when this movie gets developed, hopefully. God Particle sounds intriguing. All right, Paul, this is an interesting story, and it would have been more interesting had we had the show last night.
Yeah, that's true. But you know what? I left it in there just for the site that was being promoted here, the events.sleuth.com. An asteroid the size of a city block, I don't know if anyone else saw this, it flew by Earth yesterday. And, you know, that's kind of something. they called it LZ1. I don't know who decided to call the asteroid LZ1, but there you go.
As long as it wasn't called LV223 from Prometheus, that would have been actually kind of cool.
Astronomers thought it was 1,650 feet wide and will come within 12 lunar distances of Earth. And this was yesterday. People didn't think there was any danger of it actually impacting us, but it was huge, and it was close enough to where we could actually catch it on camera. And you can go to this website and actually see what it was doing. And sure enough, I saw it on the YouTube, and you can see it just fine. That is an asteroid, and it got relatively close to us. But yeah, if you go to events.sleuth.com, you can see all kinds of astronomical events, as it were, and see where things are relative to us, and witnessing these things through the telescope that they're using, which is from the Canary Islands, by the way.
I am bookmarking this site right now. It's not going into other bookmarks. It's going to the bookmark bar. That's how important this is to me.
Wow.
Yeah.
To the top.
Wow. Go ahead, Paul.
On the site, you can tell what exactly, when the next event is. And for right now, I can check that the next event in space that they're going to broadcast is a day and 6 hours from now. And you can read about what that event is. And yeah, you can actually see it live what's happening to it.
I have this feeling, and it's a bad feeling, that people are going to start thinking that more and more asteroids are passing by the Earth closer and closer. But in reality, we have better technology to actually see them and detect them. Do you guys agree with that?
Well, there's asteroids that pass by Earth all the time, but for some reason, people only pick out certain ones or certain events. And I think if the media starts picking up more of them, then people are going to think like, oh man, there's more and more asteroids coming to Earth. In the same way that when earthquakes happen, people think that they're happening more often when they're really not. It's just we're more spread out. We're living in places where earthquakes happened before on a regular basis, but now there's people there to actually notice them.
Mm-hmm.
And if more and more people actually looking up toward the sky, then we'll probably end up getting more and more asteroids that are noticeable. And there is the near-Earth... I just went blank.
Near-Earth objects?
Near-Earth objects thing that NASA does, and I put the link down there if people want to check it out. But I know that they used to have a spreadsheet on there that had a list of all of the near Earth objects, but they have statistics and stuff if you want to check that out too.
And that's going to be in the show notes. I know that that wasn't part of Paul's article originally, but I will put it in the show notes too, just because it's cool and people should see this. Now, I have a question.
For sure.
You said something about moon or lunar distance? Is that how you said it?
That's how the article was phrasing it, and it said the asteroid last night came within 14 lunar distances.
What exactly is a lunar distance? Is it?
I'd assume that it's the distance from Earth to the moon.
So
multiplied by 14.
That's
238,000-ish miles times 14.
So it was farther away times 13 from the moon, right?
Well, yeah, times 14, yeah.
Yeah. Well, it was the moon is the lunar distance, but then it was 13 more of those farther away from Earth, right? Okay.
Yep.
That's what they're claiming, yeah.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to go back and check out the video because I am curious.
Yeah, it's just that it's typical stuff. You can just see it. You're like, hey, that is an asteroid, and it's pretty cool.
All right, Robert in the chat room says he asked if he can ask a question about Prometheus. Yes, because that is my pick coming up. I was actually a little bit lazy Because my pick on the alien invasion last night was Prometheus. And it's also the pick on this show, just because I was really impressed by the movie and it's a major event. So that's why I wanted to have it as a pick on two shows.
Okay. Shame on
we
you,
need
Dave.
To talk about this. I'm glad, you know what? I'm glad that he picked Prometheus because we need to talk about it.
Did you see it?
No.
Okay.
But I want, yes. Moving on.
All right. Okay, so that's space. Before we have picks coming up, but before we do that, don't forget you can listen to all of the Galactic Netcasts, including Time Traveling Robots in Space and The Alien Invasion, via Stitcher Smart Radio on your iPhone, your Android phone, if you have a BlackBerry. It's also available on Android tablets and the Nook. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone, and it doesn't take up space on your device. You want to keep space for like videos and photos and apps? Well, this will help you do that with Stitcher Smart Radio. Go to stitcher.com/galacticnetcasts. Enter the promo code galacticnetcasts for a chance to win $100 cash card. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. All right, picks. Do you guys want me to go first? Or Paul or Anessa, do you want to go first?
I say you should go ahead and go first, so that way we can address Robert's question.
Okay.
I'll go ahead and put his question down here in the comments.
Okay. All right. All right. So my pick, like I made mention of, is Prometheus. It is the quasi-prequel to the movie Alien, set in the same universe created by Ridley Scott in 1979 with the original Alien. And the movie stars Noomi Rapace, Michael Fassbender, Guy Pearce, Idris Elba, and Charlize Theron, set in the 21st century, late in the 21st century. The story centers on the crew of the spaceship Prometheus as they follow a star map discovered among the remnants of several ancient Earth cultures, led to a distant world and an advanced civilization. The crew seeks the origins of humanity, but instead discovers something else. It was similar to Alien, but with its own mythology and ideas. And what I liked about the movie was obviously the visuals. I mean, Ridley Scott is a visual master when it comes to special effects. And I also liked a couple of the characters. I liked the character played by Michael Fassbender, David, the artificial life. He was a standout, as well as Noomi Rapace, who was, I think, she pretty much represented the character, why am I drawing a blank? The alien from Alien, Ripley. What? Who played Ripley on Alien?
Sigourney Weaver.
Thank you.
Sigourney Weaver. Yeah,
she was definitely the Sigourney Weaver character in Prometheus. They squeezed in a lot of things into this film, and I think it was done that way for a couple of reasons. And Anessa and I talked about this last night on the Alien Invasion. I think that they were trying to squeeze a lot of the elements from the Alien universe into a film that didn't necessarily need some of the Alien universe elements put in. And also, I think they were setting up, laying the groundwork for two more movies after this. And that's why, ooh, we lost Anessa. That never happens. Hmm. All right, so addressing Robert's question, do you think the Prometheus movie would have been different without David the robot? Let me think about that for a second. Yes, because he was kind of the instigator in a couple of things that happened in it. So I definitely think that would have been different. Paul, what do you have to bring to the table on this discussion?
I'm just taking an unofficial poll of the Twitterverse, but it seems like this movie has people fairly divided. People seem to think that it wasn't very good at all, or it was everything they wanted and more. I guess I was just kind of trying to get your impression of how you felt about the film. It seems like all the elements are there. I mean, the cast is great. The previews I saw were great. So it seemed, I think the general criticism of people was that it was trying to do too much. Does that criticism makes sense.
Yeah, both. I think both me and Anessa agree, right?
Yes. They were trying to squeeze a whole lot of stuff into one movie, and I think they left a lot out as far as explaining. If they had just maybe added a little bit more time to explain some of what was going on, then people might have enjoyed it a bit better, I guess. But I know overhearing conversations when leaving the theater, a lot of people felt like there were some things that they missed or they just didn't understand. Although one of the things that they missed I thought was kind of obvious, which was right at the very beginning. But
are you going to reveal it? Or
Okay.
No, for people that haven't.
I'll see it for sure. So let me ask you this. Is this one of those movies where it leaves you with more questions than answers?
Yes, it does. And I have...
So he's not actually looking to wrap everything up here.
No. He's got two more movies before... This is going to be a trilogy leading up to...
By the way?
Well, it's not confirmed, but it's been said enough by the people in the know. I think Ridley wants to do... He wanted to do a series of movies based on Alien originally, but the studio took that franchise away from him. So this is kind of like his chance to do it all over again, sort of. With telling a different story, obviously, but set in the same universe and inspired by Alien itself. And this movie is not a perfect movie, but it left me with a lot of questions, which I have since gotten answered by reading around on blogs, and it's made me want to go back to see it again. And I think that's the sign of a really good movie, when it makes you want to go back to it again, to see it a second time around, and leaves you with questions. I think a movie is not doing its job if it doesn't leave you with questions.
Okay. That's fair enough. Yeah, I've heard that a lot as well. I've heard that people want to go back to see it again because they're just kind of, they just want to pick up things that they may have missed the first time around. I guess I'll have to see. I've also heard people say that they can't wait for the whatever. There's an extended cut of this movie somewhere.
Yeah.
And people just can't wait to see it.
Yep. And those are the parts that Anessa mentioned that she felt that were left out of the movie. And I feel the same way. And I think they'll put those in the director's cut once that's released on DVD and Blu-ray.
Mm. Cool.
Hoping,
yeah. Let's keep our fingers crossed. So that's my pick, Prometheus. Go see it. I want to see it again, but I'm low on money. I got a move coming up, so I might have to wait until it's out on Blu-ray.
Cool.
All right. Before,
when are you moving?
It's still up in the air, but it's happening. It's a definite thing.
Right.
It's just still not everything is confirmed. Okay, so if you want to help out Galactic Netcasts, you can buy products related to our picks. For example, Prometheus, The Art of the Film. It's a coffee table book, and you can get that via our website. Go to galacticnetcast.com and click on picks, and a percentage of the profits made from your purchases. And you can stay on Amazon through that link and buy other things, and we'll still get a percentage of the profit. So please, that's a great way of helping us out. At the same time, you win because you're getting the stuff that you want at galacticnetcast.com and click on picks. All right, Paul, what is your pick?
Sir, I am picking another video game, and I know Dave hates me for this, so I'm sorry. And I feel horrible that I have not recommended it up to this point. Ratchet and Clank. I love that series. I absolutely love it. Ratchet is a Lombax, which is kind of like, I don't know how to describe him other than like, looks kind of like that character from The Lion King with pointier ears. Does that make sense?
Wait, which one from The Lion King? Which character?
I don't know the name of the animal. It's the
are you talking about
boar.
Like Timon and Pumbaa?
Yes.
Timon? I
Okay.
Yes, that's exactly right. Some like he kind of has pointer ears.
Okay, I see it. I'm looking at a picture at Ratchet and Link, and I definitely see it. So yeah.
Okay, but anyway, yeah, he's an alien type creature, and Clank is a robot, and Clank is amazing. He actually, like in the very first Ratchet and Clank, you can actually see where Clank was created. There's this whole video game series is very tongue in cheek. There's a lot of humor in there, but there's this whole assembly line of robots being created, and something goes wrong on this assembly line and you can see it happen. And so when Clank is created, he's much smaller than all the other robots and he is immediately self-aware, whereas all the other robots are not. So he's just kind of curious about everything originally. So it's Clank is really, really kind of one of my favorite characters ever. But yeah, this whole the story, at least originally, is based around these two characters meeting each other and then eventually trying to save the galaxy from this evil person. Yeah, it's a third person perspective. Do you know what I mean when I say that, Dave?
Yes.
Meaning you. Okay, so you are looking at your character moving around, and it's kind of a platformer, meaning that a lot of the challenges are based around you getting from one place to another through all kinds of stuff. Like, you know, that usually means jumping around and avoiding stuff, that kind of thing. Another really great thing that I love about this game are the weapons. The weapons, Ratchet and Clank, are fantastic. For example, they have a disco ball gun. So what happens is you shoot this disco ball out, it starts spinning, and every single bad guy around there has to start dancing. That's what they do. That's the point of this gun.
That's awesome.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stuff like that. And there are many, many different iterations of this game. I'm recommending the very first one. Ironically, I didn't, like, when this game originally came out, I didn't pick it up. It didn't seem all that interesting to me. So I actually ended up winning it at this, I forget where I won it. It was like, I was in college at the time, but I ended up winning it. And I played it, and it turned out to be one of my favorite series. So I'm really happy about that. Ratchet and Clank originally for the PS2.
Okay. I put Ratchet and Clank All for One as in the pick section, but I'll also put the original in the pick section on the website as well.
Cool. Yeah, All for One is the most recent iteration of that game.
Okay. And they've been doing them for a while, like 2002, it looks like.
Yeah, Insomniac Games are the developers of this. And they are actually located in Burbank, which is right next door to where I live. They have been doing it for a while. In fact, I think they're actually probably trying to like branch out a little bit. Like the All for One is a little bit different in that it's a cooperative type game, meaning that four people can play in at the same time.
Co-op games are a really big thing right now, aren't they?
Thank the Lord. I really, like, if you have the right group of people, they're the best. I really love those games.
Well, cool. All right, so Paul's pick is Ratchet and Clank. Anything more you want to add?
I may recommend future Ratchet and Clank iterations in the future.
That's quite fine. I'm looking forward to that discussion. All right, Anessa, what do you got for us?
This is actually kind of a reference to last week's show. I am picking All You Zombies. All You Zombies is a science fiction short story that's written by Robert Heinlein. It was written in one day, July 11th, 1958, and it was first published in the March 1959 issue of Fantasy and Fiction magazine after being rejected by Playboy. The story involves a number of paradoxes caused by time travel, and in 1980 it was nominated for the Balrog Award for short fiction. And basically, All You Zombies chronicles a young man, later revealed to be intersex, taken back in time and tricked into impregnating his younger female self, before he underwent a sex change. Thus, he turns out to be the offspring of that union, with the paradoxical result that he is his own mother and father. As the story unfolds, all the major characters are able to be the same person at different stages of his life. So.
Wow, that's a crazy story.
It is. It's a really short read, and I actually found it in this book, Masterpieces, the Best Science Fiction of the Century. I don't know if it's like the best, but they're pretty good.
You just you're a reading fool, Anessa. You love to read.
I'm the reader in the group, apparently, because that seems to be all of my picks for reading. I'll surprise you one day, though.
Well, that's fine.
It'll be like a video game.
We all have our roles to play because, okay, here I'm a movie TV guy. Paul is a video game guy. Brad from Alien Invasion is a comic book guy, and you're a book person. So it works out. It's fine.
Yay.
Cool.
It's funny because I was listening to All You Zombies by the Hooters. It was a 1980s group song, All You Zombies, earlier today. So it's weird that that would be your pick.
Oh, well, there you go.
Oh, very appropriate. Good job, everyone.
All right.
Emotions all around.
All right. Don't forget, you can go to galacticnetcast.com, click on picks, and either buy the exact thing that we've talked about or items related to what we've talked about. Like, for example, you can't go onto Amazon and buy Prometheus now. Although you can pre-order the Blu-ray, but I instead chose to put that coffee table book. But you can buy Ratchet and Link, and you can buy All You Zombies. So go check it out. You'll help Galactic Netcast. Picks at galacticnetcasts.com. Okay, one final thing to do. That is the question of the week. Are you guys ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. Where do you see the world in 15 years as far as robotic technology goes? Paul?
Huh. I think people are going to complain more and more that robots are taking their jobs. And it's funny that we were talking about that whole stereotype beforehand, because I actually wrote that down yesterday. so, yeah, I think that robots are probably going to get more efficient and more adept to actually performing tasks that people normally do.
Well, it's
so I think.
It's already happened. It's happened. It's been happening for a while. Look at the car industry, the automotive industry. Robots took over the assembly line. That's the first big example of that happening. But I can see what you're saying. It's going to happen more and more.
Yeah, in fields that we may not expect. Like, you know, it just depends on which direction it goes. But as the tech gets a lot better, I would definitely expect that more jobs are going to be fulfilled by robots.
Wow, what a bleak future person you are, Paul.
Hey, man. Hey, so you're telling me that you would not, like, say, for example, watch a la kind of like Real Steel, robots beat the crap out of each other or robots play sports?
Oh, I would, yeah, totally. So I guess I'm supporting.
Speaking of robots,
that's so bleak.
Go ahead, Anessa.
I was going to say, speaking of robots playing sports, I had seen an article the other day where they created robots to play soccer, and it's a thing. They have robot soccer championships now.
Yeah, you posted that on the Google Plus Galactic Netcast page, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
So. That's pretty awesome.
All right, so we're looking forward to robots taking our jobs and watching sports, robot-based sports. All right, I see that, Anessa, you don't have a response. Do you have a response ready, prepared, or?
I do. Basically, I agree with Paul as far as they're taking our jobs, but at the same time, the more robots that are being created, there needs to be more people that know how to maintain the robots whenever they do malfunction. So while they're taking a lot of jobs, they might be creating jobs at the same time. So,
see, I intentionally left that part out.
So there you go. Yeah, they're also creating jobs. So they're doing some of the more, I guess, medial tasks that we don't really want to do.
Well, think about this. Okay, what if all of a sudden it's really cheap to go into space and we start mining the moon or mining asteroids or going to Mars? We leave the robots here on Earth to do our old jobs and we go out into space. And then we come back 25 years and they've taken over the world.
Yep. Or vice versa, we could send them out into space to do the mining.
Yeah.
It's an environment that's not really safe for humans, and then they, of course, get smarter and decide to come blow us up.
And so they assimilate other cultures and become the Borg.
Yep.
Nice.
Yeah.
It would go basically from like our toasters to Cylons, I guess.
Toasters becoming toasters.
I maintain that my future is a lot better than like that one. That one sounds a lot worse.
No, I think you're right, yeah. Because you're just talking about jobs. I'm talking about the annihilation of all humankind by robots.
See?
Yeah, I like Paul's.
Yeah, I like Paul's too. All right, so here's my answer. I think in 15 years we'll start seeing robotics in a lot more things, and it won't be that big of a deal to us. I think because it'll kind of gradually work its way in, like things will start being taken over by robots, or like humans' limbs will be replaced by robots, or, you know, robotics will become as prevalent in technology as computers are now. Computers in 15 years will be just, you know, taken for granted. I mean, even less than taken for granted. Like, it's obvious that, yeah, computers. But I think the same thing will happen with robots, that it'll become part of our daily life, and it'll happen so slowly over time that we won't notice and it won't be that big of a deal. Agree, disagree?
Okay.
I can see that.
That's a little optimistic for me, but I suppose it's possible.
What a negative Nelly you are, Paul. Wow.
Y'all are both being negative Nellies today. Like, Paul's over here with they've taken our jobs, and Dave's up here with they've blown up our world. And
that's
I'm
true.
Over here with they created jobs. Yay!
Okay. Miss Sunshine.
Oh, man. I love you all. How about that? There's my optimism.
Yeah, I love you guys too.
Yay.
All right.
We're doing better. Like, the show is you know, more popular now than it's ever been.
Yeah.
That's optimistic. Right?
Yeah, we're making fans. Yeah. We're winning people over by our negativeness. Maybe people like us being negative.
People make a good living off of that.
Look at Rush Limbaugh. He's not really that positive, right?
Or any comedian ever.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so if you have an answer for the question of the week, what do you think life is going to be like in 15 years as far as robotics go? Let us know. Email galacticnetcasts@gmail.com. You can call the voicemail, 805-328-3966, or go to the forums at galacticnetcasts.com. And don't forget to subscribe to the Time Traveling Robots in Space or the Mega Feed. And that's subscribe.galacticnetcasts.com. All right. That's it, guys. Any final thoughts before we close down?
Don't run with scissors.
Stay excellent to each other.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Leave your hailing frequencies open and scanners on full, because another Galactic Netcast will be approaching your coordinates soon. For more information, go to galacticnetcasts.com.